Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today's going to be another program where I am on a journey. I'm on a journey with you. Well, I'm actually on a journey, taking a walk. I'm getting used to my going on a hike, going on pilgrimage, which is happening in just a week and a half. Oh my goodness. I don't know if Carrie can believe it or I can believe it. All right, I've got a bunch of stories for you to share today around that theme. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, thank you for the gift of early mornings. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of being able to walk with you, Lord, and to be able to sense your presence in the world, Lord. Help us to embrace a way of life that allows your presence, your activity to become better known and embraced and acknowledged in our lives. Lord, thank you for the beauty of creation. Thank you for the immensity of the sky above, the detail and delicacy and strength of the physical world around us. And Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are alive in this moment in history. I thank you, Lord, for their ingenuity and their sense of purpose and being able to build structures and design communities. And Lord, for those who are working for the common good, those who are working for order in society and for peace and fraternity among human beings, Lord, I beg you to enhance those efforts. Lord, I do pray in a special way that you would also bless those who are attempting to serve you and worship you and honor you as God. Those who work to promote the Catholic faith and to live faithfully there in their own duties of their state and life. Lord, I do pray for my brothers and sisters today who feel oppressed. Lord, I know that there are some who experience oppressiveness of weather, just the elements of the heat. But Lord, I know that's a sign as well of so many people who are struggling with a sense of oppressiveness in interior matters, emotionally, relationally, financially. Lord, I do carry them with me today. Just carry them, Lord. And I just ask that you would hear their heart's cry, Lord. Just give them a sense that they are not alone. My brothers and sisters, you who are carrying heavy burdens today, you are not alone. My saying this prayer is a sign that the Lord sees you. He knows you. He knows exactly where you're at and the heavy burdens that you're carrying. Lord, I just beg you to give them a sense of peace. Give them a sense of insight. Lord, help them to see that you are with them, that they are not alone. And unexpected surprises like a garbage truck coming by the road that I happen to choose to go down. I can't believe it. Okay, what are the odds of that? See, now that's what I'm talking about. Lord, for those unexpected things that come into our lives that can throw us off, that can disturb our peace, I ask Jesus that you would please help us to be able to not take ourselves too seriously. Help us to be able to look to you as the source of hope, the source of joy, the source of overcoming. That's it. Lord, I just pray for the spirit of overcoming, that my brothers and sisters who are carrying heavy burdens would feel a sense of your strength accompanying them. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I thought I got up early enough to avoid people and cars. And I thought I was on a route that was going to be empty enough where I wouldn't encounter any noise. I'm walking through the downtown Coeur d'Alene. My wife and I, Carrie and I, we just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary yesterday. Well, 2 days ago, sorry. I'm recording this the day after, on the 13th. You're hearing this on the 14th. And so I got up early to take a walk and talk with you. This is, again, such a fascinating thing how I've shared this with you before, but these are themes you're going to hear again and again, I think, in the course of the next 50 days. And it's recovering, I guess maybe an overarching way of saying it, is recovering and deepening our sense of the pilgrim quality of our lives. Okay, let me say that again. That pilgrim quality, that there's a dimension of our lives, there's a way of seeing our lives, seeing ourselves alive through the lens of being a pilgrim. What do I mean by that? Well, you've heard me say over and over, and I don't think I can say it enough, John Paul II's incredible insight into how we operate in day-to-day life is from his book on, it's called Sources of Renewal, on the implementation of the teaching of the Second Vatican Council. And in that book, he takes and attempts to synthesize many of the key themes found in the 16 documents of the Second Vatican Council, and he lays them out. But honestly, for me, the most impactful part of that book is his introduction and first chapter, where he focuses in on some of the fundamental themes in his own writings, and he lays out this idea that the teachings of the Church, as important as they are to be known, right? So you can read the documents, you can take in the content of the documents, you can memorize them, you can say, okay, here's what the Church said in the Second Vatican Council, and here's what it didn't say. You can be able to get the primary quotes, right? All of the, let's call it the content of faith, as important as that is, that if all it does is remain ideas or concepts that we memorize and even we're able to coordinate with other concepts, then it's not doing the full work that the teachings of the Church are meant to do in our lives. Okay, one more time. This is an important point, and very few theologians make it the way that he makes it. The teaching of the Church is not meant merely to be memorized, and then once memorized, agreed with. Like, oh, I agree with that, versus I don't agree with that, right? Instead, it's something different. It's that the teaching of the Church, and this is John Paul II's language, are these ideas that are meant to be, here's his word, phrase, inserted into consciousness and give rise to an attitude Okay. You hear me use that language for a long time on Sound Insight. Truths are to be inserted into consciousness. And they're there. It's like, here, I'll give you a different language. Jesus talks about seeds that are sown. The truths are sown into our very minds and hearts. These ideas take root in such a way that they shape how we see life. So it's not merely enough. It's not merely enough to say, oh, I believe that in accord with the teaching of the church that God created the world. No, that truth, you could say that. You could say, I believe that truth that God created the world, of course. But that, what does it mean to say that truth gets inserted into consciousness and gives rise to an attitude? Well, if you're going to insert that truth into consciousness, that God created the world, well, now here I am, I'm walking out in nature. I'm near to a bunch of things that human beings are building. Literally, I can't believe they're working at 6 a.m. I don't know, could they do that? I don't know, that's legal. Get all these people working on this kind of new high-rise condos or apartments, whatever they are, that are going up there. That's an early start. Anyways, but if the truth gets inserted into consciousness, now it shapes how I see. So now I'm looking around at me, and I'm not just seeing a bunch of trees and a beautiful vista of the kind of this range of high hills and the beauty of the sky. No, wait a minute. Somehow, this is a palette. This is a presentation of God's creative power, of God's creative capacity. And wait a minute. Somehow I can sense and see God at work. No, even better. I can see God in his handiwork. And so all of a sudden now the challenge becomes, is that true? Am I naturally, easily, simply sensing God's presence as I look at this tree right in front of me and that bush right in front of me and that rock? Well, I don't just mean this in a poetic way or in a philosophical way. I mean this in a way that's more personal. It's more intimate. That it's not just I look at that as something that stands over against me, that I'm looking at objectively, like a scientist studying. No, I'm also involved in it. And this God who created this world is not just off at a distance. Okay, he did that, now he's off to other things. No, this God is intimately involved in the world he's created. This God is intimately involved in approaching me and you, communicating to me and you, reaching out, taking the initiative to me and you through the world he has created. So this idea of truth being inserted into consciousness changes what John Paul II says is an attitude. How we relate to things is our attitude. So how we see it shapes how we relate to it. And so when I'm saying to you that John Paul II started his book on the reflections on the teachings of the church in the Second Vatican Council, what he was discussing, what he was talking about is really and truly this sense of having this awareness that God is reaching out to us in the world he has created. And if he does reach out to us in the world he has created, then we can live our lives day to day with that sense that God is addressing us. He took the initiative to create us, and he takes the initiative day to day, moment to moment, to help us faithfully live in accord with the purposes for which he took that action. All right. Wow. Where did that all come from? Well, all of that came from this idea that we are pilgrims. I mentioned this idea, this pilgrim quality of human life. And it's something that is developing or growing in me specifically as a result of the fact that I'm taking this pilgrimage, right? The idea of going to walk the Camino of Santiago de Compostela. And folks, if you haven't been listening, it's something I've been talking about now for, I don't know, maybe a month, kind of hinting at it and then bringing it out more into the open, that this is a, I feel like it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's not a requirement. It's an opportunity the Lord has given to me if I would say yes to it. And Carrie so graciously also has to say yes to it, and she has. And so it's something that I'm about to embark on in the next 10 days or so. And I go as a pilgrim. I go as a pilgrim. And I like words. So I dug into, like, what's the root meaning of the word pilgrim? Well, it's actually traced back to in the Romance languages, to the concept of going through a country. Peregrino, a pilgrim is a peregrino, and that's the word in Italian, in Latin, in Spanish, and it refers to this idea of going through. You're going through someplace, and if you hold on to that concept of going through, well, then what do you naturally come up to? You come up to the ideas of, well, if you're going through a place, then guess what? It's not your home. If you're going through a place, then, well, that's a place where you are, in fact, on the way. You're not yet home. So, all right, let me pick up on this. I'm up against a break. When we come back, more of the program. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and we are on a journey today, on a journey in this program through this hour. And one of the things that I shared with you is, for only the second time, I am recording a program while I'm walking. Now, I've recorded programs where I've not used my, like, studio microphones and technology. I've had programs where I've used phone, like just earbuds and stuff like that. But to be able to record a program while I'm walking, while I'm on the way, I've only done that one other time, and that was with Kerry. We did it last week, and it was the idea of preparing for when I am going to be on my pilgrimage. It was a really interesting conversation we had about the spirituality of walking and how walking can be used as a way of praying, as a way of slowing down life and stripping away, interestingly, technology and paying more attention to the world that's around us. And so I was like, oh, you know what? This morning when I got up, I'm like, you know what? Instead of recording today's program in my studio, let me do it while I'm walking, because I've got some neat stories to share. And I thought, you know what, let me just build in this rhythm. So I'm right now at, it's called the Coeur d'Alene Resort, and there's this boardwalk that goes around it. I just entered the boardwalk, so I'm not walking because I'm bored. It's a walk that goes out around where there's boat docks and beautiful view of Lake Coeur d'Alene. And so I thought, oh, you know what? And as part of my walk, I'm going to talk with you, because I've got stories to share. Like I said, yesterday was Carrie and my anniversary, and I wish we could say we had profound insights that flowed from our reflecting upon 30 years of marriage together. If there was, I don't know what it is yet. I'm trying to figure it out. Nothing is jumping out at me. We had some nice conversations. Interesting. Maybe I'll save those for Friday with Carrie. I was saying to her, how do you relate more naturally to the past, the present, or the future of our lives, of our family, and what gets evoked out of you when you reflect on the past 30 years, the present moment we're in, and then the future that we're headed towards. But did you see what I just did there? What I did there was I reflected on my life and your life in accord with that structure that we are pilgrims. We are on a pilgrimage. We are on a journey. We are not yet home. And that concept of if we recognize that we are on a journey, that we're not yet home, then that begs the question, where's home? And of course, we know the answer to that conceptually, right? In our minds, if you good Catholics are going to quickly say, well, of course, heaven is our home. But then if I said to you, if that consciousness, if is that truth sunk into our consciousness, has it sunk into how we see our lives in this world? And has it shaped our attitude, how we relate to the things of this world? Does that manifest itself in the behaviors, the things that we do day to day? Because if we really, really, really believed and believe that we're not home, we're on a journey, we're away from home, then we act a certain way, right? How many times, like in the summer, right, if you are doing what, you take a vacation, you are away for a few days, what do you, when you're finally done, what do you want to say? I can't wait until I get home. And you're not talking about heaven. You're not talking about, I can't wait to die. What you're talking about is, I can't wait to get back to my house and to my own bed and my own space and the things that are familiar to me. And that's the thing that we think about when we talk about the idea of, can't wait to get back home again. Good morning. Catch anything yet? Okay, let's hope for a big one. All right, a couple people fishing early in the morning. They had bright smiles on their face for being up so early. But ask yourself, isn't it true that when we say we look forward to heaven as our home, that often is running counter to, almost in opposition to, the weightiness of our own worldly experience of being at home, right? It's like, I feel really comfortable at home, my physical home that I'm in right now, with my family that I have right now, and the circumstances that I have right now. Even if times are tough, even if there are things that are difficult, there's a part of me that just says, I like being home. I like it here. And the stronger that we attempt to dig in roots here on earth, the stronger that we attempt to say, this is actually my home. That's how it actually, I'm living my life. Don't tell me conceptually what you think. Let me see how you live. Let me see if how you live is that you feel like a sojourner. You feel like a foreigner here on earth. You feel like someone who doesn't belong fully here on earth. You feel like there's an emptiness. There's a gap. There's a hole in your heart while you're living here on earth because you're not home in the deepest, truest, fullest sense, that you really do long for heaven. And yeah, it's great being here on earth, but boy, I am pushing forward. I am moving towards that time where I can, well, it's not get to heaven. It's to see God. It's to be with God face to face. It's the God who, here I am at this sort of outermost edge of this dock. I'm looking out over this lake, and this view I see is just incredible. It's an incredible view of the lake in front of me and the mountains that are here. It's lovely. Come and see. You won't leave. And I'm just going to stay here for a little bit with the sun shining and it's quiet. When I look at all of this, it's like, why do I want to leave this? Like, this is really good. It's good to be here. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's build some tents. Right, Peter at the Transfiguration. I see glimpses of your glory, Lord. Lord, I see these glimpses of your glory, and it makes me want to say, why do I want to leave this? Why would I want to leave this? This is just so amazing. That's the temptation, right? That is the easy temptation, is to say, Lord, I really like this here at home. I don't want to. Heaven's a threat. Heaven is a threat to this home. Then all of a sudden, Lord, you become a threat. If somehow, if you're going to disrupt and dislodge me from the sense of being at home here, that's hard. I don't know how often we think about that. I don't know how often we really reflect on the idea that we can so naturally, easily make an attempt to make life here on earth our home. And what can happen is what? I mean, you could name 7 things that can go wrong when we do that. I mean, I just think about, we lose sight of heaven. We start attempting to live our lives independently of God. We attempt to circle around our lives protection against harsh elements that would strip away this sense of enjoyment and fulfillment and satisfaction that this world does give. Not completely, but it attempts to give. And I'm not even talking about natural goods, like looking around and seeing these incredible glimpses of God's beauty through the beauty of what he has created, the immensity of God through the immensity of this vista of sky and sea and land that is in front of me, or the power and the intelligence that is there. If you can just go to that next level under the surface of things and realize, how is all of this ordered and kept together, and as well as the goodness of God, just because of the freshness and the refreshment of the things that are experienced right now, right? And it's like, do we go from all of the experiences of goodness and beauty and truth that and unity that are around us to say, I want to encounter that God in his fullness? And it's not even that God, it's my Father, my Heavenly Father, that I have been privileged to know because of Jesus, through Jesus. And I think that's one of the conversions, one of the things that we are challenged to come to is this idea that you don't just go from a, let's call it a vague or a surface level appreciation for the goodness and truth and beauty that God displays and what he's created, to a profound, intimate, personal, vital encounter with the living God. I mean, that's what we're made for. We're made for that encounter with the living God. And I think that that's what, when we talk about longing for heaven as our true home, when we are reflecting on the idea that God has made us for himself, and that Jesus has revealed that to us. Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, has revealed to us the ultimate source of all things that exist, the source of creation, that he's a father. He is our father. Because of Jesus, we've been invited into, again, a level of nearness, intimacy. The word is communion, to commune with him in a union with which transforms us from lowly creatures into a very sharing in divine life. Okay, I just used a whole bunch of theology right there, a whole bunch of theological words that are they point to the mysteries of faith. They point to the truths of our faith as described in the creed, in the profession of faith, that are mysteries of faith, which means that what they point to, what they reveal to us, is bigger than our capacity to fully comprehend. We can come to know who God is, but in knowing God, we come to experience the fact that He is so much bigger than we could possibly ever fully know. That's the mystery of God. And that mystery is not a threat, and that mystery is not something that goes away. I think I've shared that with you, the idea of a detective show that where there's a murder mystery, who done it? And the more evidence that they get, the more facts they uncover, the more witnesses they talk to, all of a sudden the degree of mystery diminishes and diminishes until the end of the show. Gotcha. The mystery is gone, and we know who done it. That's not the kind of mystery that God is. That's not theologically the use of the term mystery. That is about a reality that is infinitely beyond, forever beyond our capacity to fully comprehend. We can't, theologically the phrase is, you can't contain God in a concept. That God is just too big. And so this journey that we're on is a journey towards a final home in God, a final home who is God, a final home in heaven that, honestly, is also described in elements of simultaneously a rest in peace, a rest, well done, you've attained to your reward, you've reached the goal, the end of your life's journey, but then it also is the beginning of the eternal, unending journey into God, the exploration of God, the yearning to know God more fully. That is that desire, which bespeaks an emptiness that longs to be fulfilled, turns into a yearning, which is, I am known and I know, but I long to know more fully. Did you catch that? I didn't make that up. That's Augustine, and Augustine didn't make it up. He's teasing together elements that are in the scriptures that Christ speaks of, but he says it very beautifully. He says, those who seek God find God because of his mercy, right? And that's the restless heart. That's the heart that was made for a relationship with God and is restless until God dwells in that human heart. And that's through baptism, right? That's through baptism and living our life of faith faithfully. We then experience a union with the Lord, a transformative union which divinizes us, which allows us to share in God's own life as God's children, right? That's the fundamental idea of being a Catholic Christian follower of Jesus, is that he elevates us from being mere creatures of God who were created from nothing to children of God, elevated into a share of divine life through baptism and through living in this supernatural society, which is the church, that we only encounter that because of God's mercy, his merciful touch, his merciful outreach to us, the initiative that he takes to literally transform and make us new creations. But then Augustine says the second part, you know, the one who seeks God finds God because of his mercy. The one who finds God continues to seek for God because of his immensity. The one who finds God continues to seek for God because of his immensity. So that's the infinity of the Lord, that he is an infinite being, not a created being. We see glimpses of God in what he's created, and as immense as this creation is, it's still limited compared to God who is unlimited. And this God who's unlimited we encounter now in part veiled, but the unveiling will happen after death. That's our coming home, coming face to face with God. And so that's where we will rest in our end. at the same time, there's still more to know. There's still a deeper plunging into God that is to come. So guess what? That's not just for those who figure it out. That goal, that end, that path, that's not just for Catholics or for Christians or for the baptized. I mean, that's for every human being, acknowledged or not, wanted or not, recognized or not. That's everybody. Every human being you meet was created by God, was created for this relationship with God, has an ache in the human heart, and through the experience of the life they're living, they experience this sense of being thrown forward, of being pushed forward. There is no sense of being static. Now, I'm not saying that you don't experience sometimes psychologically being stuck. I don't mean that. I mean the sense of movement. Everyone experiences this sense of time moves. And with the time moving, I'm moving towards something. I think that we live in a time that is less comfortable with that. I think we live in a time that wants to focus more on the idea of life is a journey, not a destination. That the destination quality of life is a bit of a threat to the idea of it's a bit exciting to just take in with gusto the different experiences of life that are part of this journey. And it's about a goal. It's about going somewhere. It's about reaching an endpoint. So, all right, when we come back, I now actually want to share some stories that are somehow getting me to talk about these themes today of being a pilgrim, that you and I, we live a pilgrim existence, a life that is on the way. All right, back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Hey, and if you want to walk with me, if you want to journey with me when I am on the Camino, I do encourage you to go to mycatholicfaith.org. You have several ways of connecting in with me on the journey. The first is I am going as a pilgrim to pray, to do penance, to make reparation, and to go out into the deep of what the Lord has for me in my life. That's the opportunity the Lord has given me, but I'm doing so not for my own sake. I'm doing it on behalf of others, for the sake of others, and in the place of others. So first of all, my wife and my kids, and so I'm going in their place, on their behalf, and for their sake. The walk that I'm doing is not a vacation. The walk I'm doing is not a fun little trip. It's not a getaway. It is a pilgrim act of penance, prayer, and reparation. And that means I want to clear away any blockages in my life, in my wife's life, in our married life, in our kids' lives, each of them, or in their future spouses' lives, for those called to be married, anything that holds us back from receiving all that God's grace and God's plan has for our lives. That's among other reasons, is why I'm going. Again, I'm not trying to control what the Lord has for me in going there. I go with His sense of invitation and blessing, and I want to be open to the words of Pope Francis, the God of surprises. I want to be open to being surprised beyond what my would expect or plan. Certainly not what I deserve, but I also carry with me, others like you. I mentioned that if you go to mycatholicfaith.org, you can submit prayer requests that I will take with me on the way. You can also sign up. If you sign up for my newsletter, you're going to get regular updates on how things are going for me. You can also go to Facebook and YouTube. If you subscribe to those channels, if you follow my page on Facebook, you'll be able to get live prayer and live opportunities where I'm going to be giving updates and sharing reflections from the Camino. And so I'll be doing that every day of the journey. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. I'm excited to see what will come from that. But that's my intention. So if you have prayer requests, please, mycatholicfaith.org, go there, and you'll be able to connect with me, and you'll be able to get a sense of what I'm sensing God is doing day to day. So should be interesting. But again, I want to pray for you. I want to pray. I know that there are people who are carrying heavy burdens in life, and it is my heart and my intention to pray for you so that you will, on your journey, know a sense of support and encouragement and accountability to live the life that God has for you. So let's do this together, right? This is not an ordinary time. This is not a time that is easy for many people to live because of the challenges that, whether it's the economy or personal situations or just our wider nation and its level of division, it's not easy at all. And so I know that's one of the gifts of Sacred Heart Radio and Catholic Radio is that you have a companion for your journey, someone that you can sense is with you so that you realize that I am not alone. This is not me just doing this by myself. No, that God is at work and he is taking care of us. So I hope that that's something that you'll do. Okay, some stories to share. So the first is this, is that Carrie and I, one of the things that we did was we watched a documentary from someone who walked the Camino. And what was striking was this is a woman who had no manifest faith. She wasn't going because of any explicit faith reasons. It was sort of a bucket list. So she was sort of a bucket list traveler, something that she wanted to do. And what was impressive was, first of all, she did it in like 26 days, which was shocking because I'm trying to do it in 34 days. How in the world she was able to do it that fast was unbelievable. So she's, I mean, young. She's like in her, I don't know, early mid-20s, and she's thin and has an athletic shape. So she got up early and walked a ton of hours, and she walked fast. I don't think she was walking at the pace of life. There's my theme of walking is the pace of life. She has a very fast pace. But what was striking to Carrie and me was that she lacked a sense of like depth of appreciation or understanding of what it was she was doing. But there was no sense along her journey of her saying, I want to bring you with me. Let me share with you stuff going on in my personal life that drove me here. Let me share with you sort of interior goals that I have for doing this. Let me share with you the sense of people that I'm encountering along the way. She like barely mentions any sense of connecting with other people. There was like one lady that she saw a few times during the Camino and that she showed her. Point is that I felt in a certain sense that there was here's a woman who is like emblematic of today's young people who are wanting to have experiences, right? So I think you've heard that idea that a lot of people today, in terms of gifts, what are the gifts they're looking for in life? They're looking for an experience. I don't remember what's that called. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a surprise to me. And so I think that one of my hopes is that by recording and sharing my journey, I might be able to add to this whole set of online videos where folks are recording and sort of telling their story on the Camino, but I want to bring in a more sort of traditional Catholic spiritual approach to it and really lay out the fact that this is, that there's really deep, meaningful things that are available to you when you walk the Camino. So we'll see. So that was just an interesting thing, and I'll probably watch a couple more with her because I wanted her to get a sense of what am I actually doing. Even as it's dawning on me, what have I actually signed up for? Okay, so that's the first one. Second, so Carrie and I, we went away for a couple of days for our anniversary and had our kids watch over the house, right? They're old enough to do that. So on the day before our anniversary, we went out to dinner and just looked up, I don't know what you guys do to find a good restaurant. It's basically now Google reviews. And Carrie likes to dig into the comments to make sure that the reviews are recent and you get some detail, like the food, the environment of the restaurant, all that sort of stuff. And, excuse me, and believe it or not, I've never really left Google reviews, but I think Carrie's left three in the time that we were here today, over the course of our little trip, because we've had a couple of like sad surprises where highly reviewed places were pretty disappointing in terms of how like unclean they were. They were pretty filthy, like the tables and the floor and the smells, and it's just like, wow, that's kind of disappointing. Anyways, that's not why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing this up because of the people I met on the way. So the guy that was serving us in this first restaurant, his name was Michael. And I said to Michael, shortly after we met him, I used the phrase, well, Carrie, you know, he's like God, right? Because the name Michael means who is like God, right? And he laughed. And one of my throwaway lines is, no one's ever said that to you before. And he laughed at that. And the idea is that, well, of course he's heard that before. And I think he knew his name meant who is like God. But I said to him, I said, hey, you know, I said, people with the name Michael tend to experience more spiritual attacks. Well, I had to do a quick cut there because I started walking into people who were edging lawns and stuff like that. So Michael, who is like God, I said to the waiter, I said, you know, guys, people who are named Michael tend to have more spiritual attacks. And he like looked at me and he said, that's true. And he said, you know, I have experienced a lot of like spiritual things and have felt kind of spiritual attack. And all of a sudden he became fascinated with us. And it was like, you know what? The willingness, brothers and sisters, on this pilgrim journey to realize that God connects us with people, even just for a brief moment, like the waiter who's serving you, maybe for a reason that you are called upon to speak into their lives, to be an angel. And when I say speak into their lives, I don't necessarily mean challenge them, but I do mean send them a message. Bring them a message. And so that's something that I think that we have been, at least maybe, again, growing up, when I did as I did, it wasn't really a conversation. But even like living on in the Puget Sound area, there was a strong sense of keep your religion to yourself and don't lead with religious talk and religious stuff. And so I got to tell you that hesitancy has diminished in me so much in recent years, the willingness to consider every meeting with someone as an encounter that has a meaning to it that involves the hand of God. That in fact, God might have in fact connected you with a person for a moment for his purposes. And I want to be available to be able to speak into his life. And so we ended up having a really nice conversation with him, Carrie and I, about that whole idea of God and God's work, and we ended up sharing about our marriage. We ended up getting free drinks. The manager came over, and the funny thing was that I had said to God, God, just give us little signs of blessing. Give us little signs of blessing. Just, we want to give you, Lord, space to bless us during our anniversary. And so, we got free stuff a few times. So the second time was, we were up the next day driving, to town, and Carrie saw a donut shop that had some cars at it. She always looks for like signs of like what makes us confident that this might be a good place to go to. There are a lot of other people there. And so there was this donut shop and had a bunch of cars. She's like, oh, I want a donut. And I'm like, okay, well, so we turned the car around, went in, parked the car, went in. And when, as I walked in the store, there was a guy there. He's like, oh man. Like he was exasperated. He's an older guy, long white beard. He had ridden there on a bike, which was parked outside. And what was interesting was, he ended up saying, with this exasperated feel to him. And I ended up, good morning. I ended up saying, hey, you know, if you want, did I cut you? Do you want us to like take a step back? And I didn't realize why he was exasperated, but he said, oh, so I went up and I ordered 2 donuts, 1 for each of us, for Carrie and me, not him. And he threw money down on the counter. Here, use this to take care of it. And he said, that's it. I'm going now. Goodbye. And he left. I'm like, what was that? And he said, well, he's been here. And he's been here like for an hour or so. And he said, I will stay here and pay for all the orders of people who come through as long as they come through. And he was just about at the end of his paying for people when we walked in. So little did we know, we got in at the very tail end of the people that he was paying for. So it was God's little gift to us of receiving a free donut. Ta-da! So I thought that was, again, a little darling. Oh, and I said, hey, what's your name? He said, Mark. I said, Mark. I said, would you be open to the idea of praying for you? And what do you mean by praying for you? What do you mean by that? I said, well, you know, asking for blessings from God. And he said, well, I appreciate what you're doing, and I am fine. You know, I'm in my own kind of spiritual place. I'm like, great. And Mark has no idea what he actually did, which was he got on my prayer list. So he thinks that he was being a blessing to me and generous to pay for our donuts. Absolutely, he was. And that's true. But he doesn't realize the benefit that comes back to him from doing that, which is that I'm going to pray for him. He's going to be on my prayer list, hopefully, for the rest of my life. And so hopefully there's a hundredfold blessing that comes back to him as a result of his generosity to us. And then the last one, the place we stayed in last night, Carrie, the lady, found out it was our anniversary and took away the parking fee. Ta-da. Like, oh, wow, this is another gift. I love that. So God has been blessing us with little things to be signs of blessing, and I happily receive them. Please say a prayer for Carrie and me as we launch into our 31st year, and that we would go deeper, especially in this really interesting moment in our journey where I'll be taking this Camino and taking you with me. So I hope and pray that that's a blessing to you. All right, we're coming up against the end of our program. Tomorrow is a powerful and important feast. It's the feast of the solemnity of the Assumption of our Blessed Mother into heaven. So that will be an important theme to reflect on tomorrow, and I'll happily do that with you. All right. Would you pray God's blessings on your day? Again, go to mycatholicfaith.org where you can sign up for my newsletter. You'll get emails, they're not printed, emails of the regular happenings along my Camino. Submit your prayer requests and sign up for my YouTube channel, subscribe to it, as well as for my Facebook page, so you'll be able to follow along with live streams and other recordings of reflections when I'm on my journey. All right, God bless.